Welcome to In the Community with Tiffany Kay.
And we're back with In the Community. I'm Tiffany Kay, and today I have a returning guest who I love having on the show, Casey with the Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. Casey, how are you?
I am great. Thanks so much for having us back.
Thanks for coming back. You know, we always get great information depending on the seasons about how we can save money, especially with electric bills. And I know people are going to be wondering, with summer right around the corner, how they can save money on their electric bills. So let's just jump right into it, shall we? Everybody wants to save.
Absolutely. So yeah, summer is approaching quickly. And even though it's not here yet, the temperatures are certainly warming up. And that's resulting in people turning on their air conditioners if they haven't already. And there's a lot of things that you can do without even realizing it that can cause your electric bill to go up. And then you're shocked at the end of the month with a higher than expected payment.
Yeah.
So I would love to talk a little bit about how you can manage your heating and cooling costs, particularly in the summer, your cooling costs, with some AC tips and tips to use your thermostat.
Yeah, I would love to have. What are some of those tips for us? Because, lately it's been either cold and rainy or then it's hot.
Right.
So now you're turning the AC on and off and you're trying to get used to the weather.
Yeah. Well, the biggest tip is don't turn it on and off.
Okay. Well, tip one. Got it.
Because that will generate, when it comes back on, your system has to, work harder to get the temperature back down where you want it. But one of the first things that we recommend, and we try to give low cost and or no cost tips when we can, but sometimes there's things that you need to do that has a cost associated with it. And it's always ideal to work with a professional. So have an HVAC tech come out and check your system and make sure that it's working properly. That can save you a lot in the long run. And the cost for that tech to come out and do that seasonal inspection typically isn't very expensive, but it's worth it again in the long run if it makes sure that your system is running and it's not working harder than it has to, because you really, the most amount of electricity is used from your HVAC system trying to keep your home cool in the summer. So
right.
That will be a huge benefit for everyone who takes advantage of doing that. Everybody in their house has air filters, and it's something that we often forget about unless you look up and you happen to notice that they're dusty, which is something you don't want to see.
Yep.
So you should really have a reminder set so that you can change or check. We used to tell people to change those air filters every month, but now we just recommend that you check them because you, in some cases, you can clean out your existing air filter, or maybe your home is really efficient and it's not getting as dirty as fast. So you may not need to change it every month. So check it every month and change it when it's clogged with dirt or other debris.
And I think that's a great tip, by the way, for people who, like, I'm in the process of moving to a home. I'm coming out of an apartment. The apartment does it for me, right? So
yeah.
I don't even have to think about it. So for those who may forget about it or just set a reminder in your phone, just to make sure that you are doing that.
Yeah, and I'll throw a safety tip in there, too. In case anyone forgot to check their smoke detector batteries, we recommend that you check those smoke detector batteries. We typically give that tip around the time that time changes.
Right.
So if you didn't do that then, now's a good time, and make sure you check those air filters at the same time.
Okay.
And then another issue that a lot of homes have is air leaks. So if you go around and you check your home, anywhere that you might notice air is leaking out, or if you feel around an area and it's a lot warmer in that spot, then you know that there's an air leak. So there's things that you can do to seal the cracks. Sometimes it's best, again, if you get a professional to come in and do that sealing for you, but there are some really great things that you could take advantage of. Door frames sometimes have a gap that allows air to go in and out. And we actually have an Amazon Marketplace storefront where we put some recommended energy efficiency tools in the marketplace that we would encourage you to buy. And air leak tools is in there. So caulking as well as this door seal.
Okay.
We have some videos on our website that show how to use them as well. So that's another way to help make sure that that cool air stays in your home and you're not causing your system to work harder than it needs to. One last thing is your home's insulation. And most homes, I would say probably, especially newer homes, is this is not something you likely have to worry about. But it's always a good idea to just check and make sure, if you've been in your home for a while or if the home has been built a long time ago, that the proper level of insulation still exists, particularly in your attic, because that can be a source for air to leak as well.
Yeah, that's some great advice, especially to prepare before this heat hits, right?
Right.
We want to make sure we're being proactive.
Yes.
With it, so you can avoid any problems. But of course, there's going to be problems throughout. Nothing's perfect throughout the season. And I just have a question in terms of not just the money aspect of it, but how are you actually saving energy when summer finally sets in? What can people do?
So these things right here will save you money.
Perfect.
Specifically. They will help manage that cost of your energy bill. And it's really a matter of doing them all, right?
Okay.
It's not like you just do one, but do them all.
Okay.
There are some other things that you can do in just like the day-to-day. One of those, and I mentioned a minute ago, I was going to talk about thermostats. But
yeah.
The first thing is, if you don't have a programmable thermostat, invest in that programmable thermostat and get that installed.
Okay.
Get it installed by a professional.
Of course. we all like to think we can DIY stuff, and then you get into it,
you're
like, I probably shouldn't.
But in the new programmable thermostats have a lot of really beneficial features. A lot of them will allow you to connect through a mobile device. And
okay.
So if, let's say you're away from home and you're on vacation and you have your home standard, you know, cooling temperature pretty low, but if you're not going to be there, you don't need it to be keeping your house that cool.
Yeah.
So if you're away and you had forgotten, you can quickly adjust it. So, but in the summer, and I know a lot of people are going to hear this and they're going to say, no way in the world, but the recommended temperature during the summer months for your thermostat is 78. And I'm going to tell you that I cannot survive in my house with the thermostat set at 78.
I was going to say, I'm like a 68 person.
Well, no, definitely don't do 68. But what I do try in the summer is I personally keep mine set at 74.
Okay.
And the trick is really to choose that temperature setting in your home that's most comfortable for you, as far away from 68 as you can probably get. And then try to set it there. If
okay.
you're going to be away from home, like if you work away from home all day and there's nobody else there, then adjust your thermostat up a couple of degrees and that will save you. And then if you're using that programmable thermostat, you can set some automated settings so that the temperature automatically adjusts back down to the comfort setting that you have chosen.
Okay.
That's a huge way to manage your energy costs in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The higher you set your thermostat, the more energy efficient you are and the more energy savings you are going to experience. And then at night, lower the thermostat to cool off your home. So I personally like to sleep in a cool.
Yeah, I do too.
And so that helps as well because your HVAC system isn't going to be working as hard in the morning because it's already cool
right.
in your home.
Right.
And I think I've told you this before. I think this was one of your favorite tips, and it's about ceiling fans.
I was going to say, I was hoping you would bring it up because
yeah.
that is one thing that I take away every single time.
Yeah,
I'm always like, leave the ceiling fans off if you're not in the room.
Exactly. So our message is ceiling fans cool people, not rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the room, it absolutely feels cooler because you're feeling the breeze, so to speak, from your ceiling fan.
Right.
But when you walk out, it's not affecting the overall temperature or causing your heating system not to have to work to maintain the temperature setting you've chosen. So only run your ceiling fan if you're in the room while it's running, or if you have pets. You know,
yes.
if you have pets and you're going to be away from home, you certainly want them to be comfortable. So, and you can leave your ceiling fan on if it's going to benefit them.
And I will say, I actually have done that tip, and it saved me a lot.
Good.
And I'm like, I remember it now. Every time I leave my room, I'm like, God, turn the ceiling fan off. God, turn the ceiling fan off.
That's awesome. Another thing a lot of people may not realize is if you have any type of device like a lamp or a TV or anything else near your thermostat that produces heat, it's going to trick your thermostat into thinking, because that's where the sensor is. Some of the
right.
programmable thermostats now have additional sensors that you'll place in different parts of your house.
Okay.
But anything that's close to any of those sensors that produces heat is going to trick it, and it's going to make it think that it needs to work harder to keep that area cool,
okay.
even though your room temperature overall might be different. So keep those things away from the thermostat so that it can operate effectively.
Okay.
And then in the summer, you know, when you are in the your home, I know my home gets a lot of natural sunlight.
Yep.
And I love for the sunlight to come in because I don't like the dark.
But, I do too.
It can cause my house to heat up a lot faster. I know my kids complain all the time about how hot it is. So in order to manage the temperature inside, you should really close the blinds or shut the drapes, whatever you have, to keep that sun out during the day, because it's going to heat up your house. We tell you the opposite in the winter,
right,
to take advantage of that natural sunlight. But during the summer, it's going to cause your internal temperature of your house to get a lot hotter than mm-hmm. normal. And then your system has to work harder to keep up with what your comfort setting was. So close the blinds or drapes.
And honestly, that's a great tip for any of the rooms you're not using at the time, right? You're not in your bedroom the whole day. You're not in certain areas. Like if you want some natural light in, only use it in the areas you're in and then close them still to save some energy. But I leave my blinds and stuff closed in my bedroom because I'm not in there till at night, or I keep the shades closed and everything. So yeah. I think that's also like a great idea to keep in mind too.
Absolutely.
But you've given me a lot of information so far about how members can save energy of REC. Is there a way for there to save money as well? Like, are there some saving plans that you guys are offering
yes.
for the summer?
So in the summer, we have a program called the Summer Savings Plan.
Okay.
And the way that it works is hopefully enroll now. So between okay. now and before the end of May,
okay.
ideally. We would love to have you signed up and enrolled, because what happens is between June and September, there are times throughout the summer, 12 to 15 predicted days, where the demand for electricity is going to peak.
Okay.
And what happens when the demand for electricity peaks is that affects our cost for electricity, which affects what you pay on your electric bill.
Mm.
So there's really two benefits to this program. One is the more REC member owners that come together to reduce their energy use during these potential peak days, the long-term cost savings for all of REC's members will be greater.
Okay.
But when you do effectively reduce energy during these times, you get a rebate on your electric bill.
Oh, okay.
So what happens is we'll notify you. We'll send you a text alert or an email, and we'll let you know, hey, today is a peak demand day, and we need you to take action between these hours. Typically, it's 4 to 6. Sometimes it's 3 to 6 or 3 to 7. And we need you to reduce your energy use. And that means turning off the lights. Don't cook inside during that time. Make sure you're not doing laundry.
Okay.
Don't run the dishwasher. Avoid using hot water. All of those actions combined mm-hmm. will have the potential for us to control the peak demand for electricity and have a lower cost for power.
Oh, wow.
And then depending on how much you actually can reduce, you'll get a rebate on your bill. So it's a win-win.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's like a perfect summer savings plan.
It is.
So how can people, is it easy to sign up for, easy
yes,
to do?
It is very easy. So we have a tool for all our members. It's a free tool. It's called My REC Smart Hub. You can use it on a mobile device. You can actually still use it on a website if you're a computer savvy person. And there's a contact us section, and that's where you go to sign up.
Okay.
What you'll do when you go into Smart Hub, whether it's on your mobile app or if you're using the website, you'll click contact us, and then you'll select ask a question, and a drop down list will appear, and you'll choose the summer savings plan.
Okay.
There's some information that you might have to adjust or fill in,
right.
and then just click okay, and you'll be signed up. It's really easy.
And it's a free program.
It is a free program.
Members. Okay.
And you get a rebate just for taking action to save energy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm speaking with Casey with the Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. We're talking about saving money, saving energy, especially with summertime coming around. And I do want to go into how it's going to be storm season, hurricane season during the summer, right? We're going to prepare for that. And we need to be preparing for those power outages and the storms and hurricanes. So how exactly is REC preparing for that?
Well, preparing for major weather impacts is something that we do all year round, right? Like that is probably the one thing that can have the most detrimental damage to our power grid, and it's so unpredictable. So it's important for us to make sure we're prepared with the right equipment, the right materials, that people know what their job is and how they're going to pivot if they have to during a major outage event. So we plan and we practice all year round.
Okay.
And a lot of these power outages can be unavoidable, but there's a lot of things that we still do to try to mitigate the potential risk or the magnitude of the damage that could occur. And we have an amazing vegetation management team. We have internal staff that are local here in our 22-county service territory, but we also have a huge team of contractors that work alongside us. And throughout the year, they're going out and managing the rights of way. And this doesn't mean that we're looking for every opportunity to take trees down, because we love trees
right.
and we do a lot to plant trees and make sure that the natural habitat of our right-of-ways grows back healthy. But trees are the number one hazard to our power lines.
Yep.
So we're managing the trees that are within our rights-of-way as well as other vegetation that grows up. And we're also taking a hard look at hazardous trees outside of the right-of-way. So these are trees that are dying or decaying, or they might already be dead. And we're working with property owners to take those trees down so that they don't cause damage to the power lines.
Okay.
We also have been full force replacing poles. And this is another example of a win-win. We're replacing a lot of poles so that we can build a broadband high-speed internet network that with partners, internet service provider partners that we're working with.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the benefit of these poles is that they're in many cases taller. Mm-hmm. The diameter of the pole is wider. So mm-hmm. that means they're stronger and more resilient. So these poles are very likely, we believe, to withstand damage during a major hurricane, you know, or even the storms, just regular thunderstorms that we've had in the past couple of years have been pretty damaging. So we are excited, and I really think you can probably visibly see these when you're out driving around. You probably don't look at them, though, like I do when I'm driving around.
You get excited. We're like, this is a pole.
There's a pole. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
The second most common cause of power outages is actually animals, things like squirrels and snakes. And so we have what's called animal guards that we install on equipment. And we take assessment and pay attention to areas where this is frequently occurring. And that's where we will work to install those animal guards. But it actually is designed to have dual protection. So it's protecting the animal because we do love our animals.
Of course.
Even snakes.
And I was gonna say, I don't know about snakes, but okay.
And then it's protecting our power grid. So we're hopefully, okay. And we do have proof that over the past decade or more that we've been using these, that they're very effective in mitigating power outages caused by animals.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm still thinking about the snakes. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. But okay, continuing. Yeah.
Well, you would probably hate it. But when some of our guys go out, let's say they're changing out a meter box, they have very often found a snake inside.
Oh, hey, you know what? More power to those people because I can't do that.
Yeah, they have the hardest job for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the last thing that we're doing to really maintain and manage the reliability of our power grid is upgrading our transformers, which are the gray devices that you see on the poles, if you're looking at them, as well as the wires. So we have a comprehensive system management plan that we effectively plan and manage and rotate around where we're going to be and where these upgrades are going to occur. So we're really hopeful that all these combined efforts will help us withstand as much as possible the damage from severe weather, whether it's a hurricane or a windstorm or a thunderstorm.
And you guys are taking a lot of steps of precaution,
yes.
REC is. So you guys have done your job. Now, how can members do their job to help prepare for these storms?
Well, first of all, safety is our top priority. So we're trying to make sure that our crews and our staff understand how to be as safe as possible when they're working. Mm-hmm. But we also want our members to be safe. So any of the tips that I'm giving you are really designed to reinforce how important it is to have a plan and to have a storm kit, a storm preparedness kit already assembled so that you can quickly grab it in the event of an emergency. You really don't think about the things that you're going to need or that you want or that you depend on beyond what you're so used to using. You don't think about those things until you don't have them easily accessible. So our advice is going to be to pull all of those items together now when there's a blue sky, beautiful day.
Yeah.
That way you don't need to think about it and you already have it ready in the event of an emergency.
And can we go into a little bit more detail about that storm kit? That's a great idea. I know we've talked about it before, but what should members be putting into their storm kit?
Absolutely. We should, all of us, including myself, should have a storm kit that includes things like a flashlight. That's probably the biggest tip. And some people use candles, but
yes.
We would discourage that because candles present a fire hazard.
Right.
So we recommend that you have flashlights or the type of camp lanterns where you pull it up and the light pops out.
Yeah, okay.
Those are really effective. But you got to make sure you have batteries and you need to make sure you have fresh batteries. So invest in one of those battery kits that you might find on Amazon that has a bulk supply. And then you'll want to plan out how much bottled water you're going to need. So we serve rural Virginia. So in rural areas where you're living on a well, you're not going to have access to water during a power outage. So make sure that you factor in the number of gallons per person of drinking water that you're going to need, because that's the water you're going to want to use for food preparation, drinking, as well as things like brushing your teeth or sanitizing. We also recommend, and this is an old school thing, filling up your bathtub. So if there's a strong prediction that your area is going to be without power and you live in an area where you have a well, you're not going to be able to flush toilets. You're not going to be able to do those essential things. So if you have your bathtub full, that'll give you the ability to do that and to have that water for other things if you need it. Also make sure that you have non-perishable food and that it requires no heating.
I don't know if I can do the spam that everybody talks about, but
no, I've tried.
There'll be a different food in my non-perishable items.
And if you do choose to have canned goods that are non-perishable, make sure you have a manual can opener, because that power can opener is not going to work. First aid kits and any prescription medications that you're going to need are going to be essential to make sure you have on hand and can have in a place where you can quickly grab them. And a lot of people don't think about this, but we're such a digital society now that if a major outage occurs, it's not just you at home that's affected. It's our businesses, too. And they're likely not going to be able to accept a payment by credit card. So make sure that you have cash on hand and keep it in a safe place. And then we actually have all of this, a much more comprehensive list of everything to include in your storm prep kit on our website. And we that URL to find it immediately is myrec.coop/stormprep.
That's perfect. And I think that's a great list to start with. And I've looked at your guys' list before. You break it down. Like, you really break it down. As you were saying, you don't even think about the fact that it's a digital society. Who has cash on hand nowadays?
Right.
Probably not many people. The batteries for the flashlights. So definitely check that out and prepare now, right? Before all the storms, before all the heat happens, make sure your preparation kit is ready to go.
Right. And I'm sure there's lots of other things you would rather be doing, but taking a few minutes to pull these things together. A couple more things. I'll just toss these out here.
Yeah.
Is just think about things that you'll need to keep people entertained in your home as well. If you have children, make sure that you... If you have devices that they're going to be screaming for, maybe make sure you have those kept charged. You're not going to be able to recharge them, but it'll get you through a little bit. And maybe quickly have access to things like board games or other things that might keep those young people entertained.
In other words, keep the parents from pulling their hair out is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, we have the preparation kit. What about an emergency plan? Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's something a lot of people never want to talk about. And I had to, because it's scary, right?
It is.
So I've had to have those conversations with my family, and it has really helped us. So think about what you're going to do in the event of an emergency if you have to leave. And we know that there are people that we serve that are dependent on an electric powered medical device. So if you don't have access to that, you need to have a plan. Where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? And you need to talk that through with people that you're dependent on to get you there.
Right.
And then, you know, if there's a situation like flooding and you have to evacuate, and God forbid this ever happens, you need to know how your family is going to get out of the house. And so really taking a hard look at your exit areas of your home, and do you have the gas that you'll need for your car?
Yeah.
I know I sometimes drive all the way home and the gas light is on,
so don't be like me. Yeah, don't be like me once again.
And then in terms of just keeping yourself informed for your access to power, we have an amazing outage center, and one of the best tools on our outage center is the outage map. And it gives you a visual look if you're ever wondering. You know, you know what's happening in your backyard, but if you want to know how the magnitude of this weather event has affected our 22 counties, this map will really show you that. But as an individual, you can drill into the issues at your home. What's the cause of the outage when we have that available? What's the status of the crew who's coming to make the repairs? What's my estimated restoration time? All of that is available on the map. You can break it down by county, so it might be good for you guys even for reporting.
Yeah.
The other thing is... We also just upgraded our outage texting process.
Okay.
So we have a two-way texting capability now. So any of our customers who've provided their phone number, their mobile phone number to us, will automatically get this information pushed out to them so that they can stay informed.
Okay. And can they also report an outage
yes,
as well?
Yes. Yep. You can report an outage right through your cell phone.
Okay.
And in case anybody wants to remember how to do that, that number is 63273.
Okay.
And if for some reason you're not getting outage text alerts from us, you can also register to receive them by entering that same number, which was 63273.
And I'm speaking with Casey with the Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, and we've been getting a lot of great information right now about saving energy, saving money during the summer months, getting ready for those storm preps, those power outages that are likely to happen. It's just kind of how the weather works, right? And so one more thing before we go. We know thunderstorms can knock out the power, but what happens if there's a power line down? How can people report it? What should they do about it, et cetera?
Yeah, so you would be so surprised that the thing that people think when they see a downed power line is that it's automatically de-energized, meaning there's no electricity running through that line.
Yeah.
That is not always the case. So anytime that anybody encounters a downed power line, they need to stay as far away from it as possible. We recommend 30 or more feet from the line and anything that may be touching it. We've had situations, I actually came upon some tractor trailers on a rural road in Louisa County trying to navigate their way through after a major summer storm. And there was a power line that wasn't actually down, but it had like fallen down enough to prohibit them from being able to drive through.
Oh.
And they were trying desperately to find something to touch it, to move it, which would have been
disastrous.
Deadly. Right.
Yeah.
And so I, with my children in the car, pull up, I get out and I'm like, you know, you cannot touch this. I'm going to need you to back up because I don't want to witness that or have that happen to anybody at all. So,
and your kids are probably like, Mom, stop being crazy.
Yes. My kids are like, what are you, who do you think you are? But the message here is anytime you see a power line, you should assume that there's still power flowing through that line and you need to stay as far away from it as possible. Don't try to remove tree limbs or branches. If the power line has fallen onto your vehicle, you should really stay inside of the vehicle. Don't try to have anybody remove that line for you. There's a whole lot more I could go into about what happens when you're in a vehicle, but the main message here is call for help.
Okay.
Call 911.
Okay.
And we work very closely throughout our counties that we serve with local emergency services to train them on what to do when it comes to downed power lines. And we work very well together with them. So call them first.
Okay.
And then give us a call and let us know what's going on and where you are. And we will work to assist in the situation, too. It doesn't mean, you know, if there's a downed power line in your backyard that we're necessarily going to get there immediately.
Right.
To remove it. But the thing that you need to do to stay safe is to stay away from it.
And I think that's important too, as you said, call and report it, because I think sometimes people see power lines and just try to like drive around, they don't report it, which you should not do at all. And if no one's reporting it, no one's going to fix it,
right?
So I think that's important too. So you said call 911 first and then of course call
REC. That's right.
Awesome. Well, Casey, we've gotten a lot of great information today, and I appreciate it. I love having you in here because you help us save money, and you give us great safety tips, and we have a lot of fun with it, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. We love coming. Thank you so much.
And once again, the website for anybody who wants these tips, these tricks, and ways to save money and energy.
Yeah, the website is www.myrec.coop.
Perfect. And there's the app as well for members.
Yes. And that's called MyREC Smart Hub. And we hope all of our members are using that app. It's free. There's a ton of resources and information in addition to safety, but also energy efficiency advice.
Well, thank you so much, Casey.
All right. Thank you.
And that'll do it for In the Community this week. If you are a nonprofit and need to bring attention to your cause or organization, please reach out through this station's website, and we will see you next week.